talking but taking a ride on the freedom train. Your community resource podcast series. I'm your conductor, Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me is the man with the plan, Mr. Patrick Irvin. What's going on, Pat? Yes, sir. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And you already know, for more information, make sure you visit www.paxinc.org. That's www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about the Freedom Train Network, and we're going to tell you about that coming up, and to hear the playback of your favorite shows. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain, like our Freedom Train Facebook page, and last but not least, make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast on Google Play Music and iTunes, and it really go down. What's good, Pat?
Nothing much.
Yes, that's a lot going on out here in this world. Like, a lot of stories in this media, in the social network realm that got me riled up a little bit and got a lot of people riled up. And I think we need to put some of these things on the table, you know, kind of talk about it. And because some conversations do need to be had. Some conversations I don't think we really ready to have as a whole. But I do want to talk. We do want to be able to talk about the culture of rape and the culture and the different ideologies that go around sex and the difference in these ideologies between people's ages, cultures, religions, all these things, the real stuff and the stuff that people don't want to talk about. So we're talking about the people who in front of everybody go around acting like they don't have no sex. But behind closed doors, they getting it in. Cisco, six packs, weed, no. So this is what we talk about. We putting it on the table.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? So let's talk, Pat. We did a show a couple weeks ago. We were talking about rape and things like that. But I think this is something we need to revisit, but also tied into sex in America. Because I don't think we are at a healthy state yet, and it seems like progress is happening, but I don't really see it. Do you kind of see? I ain't going to say no progress at all, but I would love to see more. How about you?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't know if we're seeing progress in terms of, like, a change. Because depending on who you talk to, the rape numbers are actually getting worse. I don't know the details on that, but I do know I've seen a lot of so-called experts commenting in the last few weeks, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem that, according to some of them, the rape culture is getting worse. So, you know, do you call that progress that we're at least talking about it, even though it's getting worse? Like, do they negate each other, or how does that function?
Well, I think in dealing with this, we got to look at this the same way that we look at racism, right? Because we can't be taking more victories if we're serious about eliminating this culture. And we need to really understand how deep this rape culture is infused in the way that we exist sexually with each other. Mm-hmm. Because think about a lot of things that we have done as males and females when we were young growing up as far as pursuing sexual partners. And when you get somebody in a room and you're trying to turn them on and stuff like that, a lot of things that people are doing is considered rape. But there is not, I would love to see more education, more widespread education on sex. First, we need to talk about sex. We need to have that good sex conversation. Because people don't want to talk about sex. But you want to talk about rape. But you don't want to talk about sex.
Right. But that's where it stems, like, for me. And that's why I said, when we were talking before the show started, I don't feel like rape culture persists because the young people don't care about it. They don't care about getting raped. They don't care about raping until they either get raped or they get accused of rape. And then all of a sudden they care, but they still only really care in their instance. Like, when it comes to other people, they might reach out and be a shoulder to lean on. But, and we could talk about the psychological and the emotional trauma, of course, but how many of the people that are raped really do stand out? Like, if we're sitting here saying one or two out of every three girls that's in college gets raped, well, that's, you know, that's a good chunk of girls. If they all stood up in solidarity, they could make a lot of noise. But on the other end of that, the same could be said. I just feel like I'm trying to summarize my thoughts because I got a lot of thoughts
going through my head. I got you. Now, but I can't. My bad. I just say this real quick, but I can say a lot of college girls do not speak out because they already pretty much know that, what to say, 1 in 15 rapists are actually convicted of rape. And so since they understand this, a lot of them not going to speak out because, and I've heard girls tell me this, you know, what's the point? Ain't nobody going to do nothing. And that's an issue.
Right, but that speaks to one of the points that I was trying to make that I just couldn't get out. But, like, there's just so much going on in the background. Like, you talk about, okay, well, you know, and I'm just presenting both two sides of the argument. Because on one side you say, well, if all these girls stood up, then they could potentially have a very loud and clear voice on what it is. But on the other end, since we know that rape is not really a female issue unless
a male
the female
issue.
Is doing the raping,
right.
It's a male issue. You know, you should be able to foster something amongst the men, but all of that starts before they even get to college or get of age where they're raping. Parents have to sit down and talk to their kids about sex. That's where the conversation starts, right there at sex.
And also look at this, like the story that's going around social media now about the little white boy who raped, I think he raped two drunk girls, and he got, 2 months of probation or 2 years of probation for raping, and we're seeing a lot of stories of especially white males, their rapes are getting covered up. Now black men, some black male rapes do get covered up, but we already know black men are going to get convicted 10, 20, 30 times more than white men. But even look at the Joe Paterno thing, like this is when we talk about culture, this stuff real. Joe Paterno knew his homeboy was raping people since the 70s, 80s. He knew that. Since the 90s, man, it's already been shown that it was cover-ups. And this is somebody that we thought was morally sound. But it's a cold, man. It's some kind of messed up, weird, flicked. And I ain't going to call it no man cold. But if some people with penises go by this cold and stick to this code, and these are the things that we're afraid to talk about. And like we're both saying, we need to be able to talk about sex. We need to be able to talk about self-esteem. We need to be able to talk about self-image. And we need to be able to talk about rape. Because if we can't talk about these three things, that like sex, self-esteem, and self-image, then it's going to make it difficult to have a competent conversation about rape and really teach people what's going on. Because I mean, we're not saying that people rape because they're horny. We can understand that it's a power and control factor, but sex has to be looked at in a different light from the way we do it. Because we go about it as if it's just we're just supposed to whore ourselves out, and that's not true. And I'm not saying that. Makes people get raped. I am not saying that, but what I am saying is the way we look at things, the way we view sex, because sometimes in some households and some cultures, we can't even talk about rape because that's too close to talk about sex. And we ain't talking about sex. We ain't gonna talk about the kids who've been molested by the adults in the house either.
Well, but that's one of the things we gotta come to grips with when we're talking about, I mean, because, and I've said it before, and I continue to say it, if you're not teaching your sons about impulse control.
Right.
You're not doing them no favors. And when I say impulse control, I mean, and I've said it before, and I'll say it live on air, I don't care. When a teenage boy is going through puberty, he experiences extreme impulses to have sex. And if he's not prepared for those impulses, and if he's not taught to respect other people, and he's not taught how to control himself, he will lose himself to those impulses.
Yes,
and
he
in
will.
Those cases, you know, and I'm still not, you know, I'm still like what Joe said, it's still, there's still a power and control aspect to it. But in those cases, you know, I feel like if that young man who was raised in this household that didn't prepare him for what was going to occur naturally in his body,
then right.
You know, like part of the blame for that is on them. And I'm sorry, Mama, if your son is a convicted rapist and you never talked to him, and yet, or he didn't, you know, his dad never talked to him, or nobody in the community ever talked to him about impulse control, what was going to happen.
Yeah, they dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, like y'all failed him. Like the community that he was raised in failed him, period. The same as we could say, you know, every, like you know, we were talking earlier about the whole factor of a lot of intoxicated or non-intoxicated people in college. Like, why is that acceptable? Why do we just write that off as you being young and dumb? And why aren't people being educated that, it, you know, it's like sex is a sacred act. It's never okay to you know,
to just be loose. Like, that's not, that is, I don't care what other culture of people, I don't care how you popularize sex. Sex is not something that's supposed to be shared around for everybody. And this talk, this is coming from a dude who was one of them extra horny teenagers and extra horny 20-year-olds like Pat talking about. But after you grow up, man, I'm as much as I like having sex, I can't have sex with you just because I'm attracted to you.
Right.
There got to be more. It got to be something more than that for me to have sex with you, for me to even want to have sex with you. And culturally, black culture, we, from in the households where they talk about sex, we do have that value placed on sex. And most black households that I'm aware of, that value is placed upon sex. Now, whether the kids follow that or not, that's a different story. But we're not taught to be so free and just have sex with anybody. And nah, man, you can't do that, because for one, you know, sex is, like you said, it's a sacred act, it's a spiritual exchange. So you can't be out there exchanging that with everybody. And then with the presence of diseases and all these things here, but also this rape culture. And little boys and little girls, well, especially, well, put it like this. Anybody who feels like somebody owes them sex, you a damn fool. I don't care if you're a football player. I don't care if you're a rapper. Like, I hate hearing these songs with these rappers talking about what Dr. Dre said. What he said? He getting up in girls now. He said, I'm paraphrasing, but basically he having sex now for making up for all the lost time of the girls who was supposed to give him sex. Like Kanye had lines like, you know, you ain't had sex with me then, but you owe me now. Nobody owe you no damn sex. Hell wrong with you, because you make a song, I might owe you no sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid.
It is.
That's stupid. But you can't create stuff like that and then on the other end be like, oh, well, women is right, women this, women that. Man, come on, man. You just said they owe you sex. And, cool. And we don't want to just stick men into this category as well when we talk about rapists and the people who are the I guess you could say the dominant people coming from that predatory aspect. It's not just men, it's men and women.
Right, but I mean like we have to get to a point where A, even if you're nervous or you're subconscious or self-conscious or whatever about talking about it, like we need to be comfortable talking about sex and our sexuality. And in that needs to be developed a healthy respect
right.
for sex and for your sexuality. And then you need to be taught to respect other people. That means even if this girl or this boy makes themselves extra available, you mm-hmm. don't take advantage of them. You know
right.
what I'm saying? You don't take advantage of the situation. You don't, because one, you need to understand, people need to really, especially teenagers, but they don't understand this because adults is too fucking scared to tell them. When you take advantage of somebody, eventually you're going to have to pay that back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no such thing, like, you're taking advantage of them in the moment, but it's going to come with a price. There's mm-hmm. always a price associated with getting what you want when you haven't earned it. There's always a price associated. And
always.
For a dude, that price might be she screen rate.
Right.
You know? For
right.
a female, that price could be the exact same thing. Or it could be a baby, or it could be an STD, or it could be, you know what I'm saying? Like, for everybody, there's always a price to pay, and the price is
right.
similar for all sides, but nobody's telling people that.
Right, right. And see, in this, and I'm glad you said what you said about the consequences, because even when we talk about, when we're talking about sex, within the black community in America, when black women, because black women really don't have the luxury to be as free with sex like white girls do, because of the rates of STDs and HIV that are in the black community, like the health disparities. Man, I'm doing outreach today. I'm at work and I'm doing outreach, and I'm walking through the hood and I'm just looking at people, and I'm just observing my surroundings, and I'm just like, damn, there's a lot of people out here with health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Period. But when we talk about sexual health issues, like black women, if they're out sleeping around, it's a high chance that they can become HIV positive if they run across the wrong black man.
But that's the deal, though, Joe. Like, and one, I think the super religious nature of our community kind of protects in that regard. But, like, you have a lot of people now, especially with the intermingling of the culture, and you'll hear a lot of black dudes talking about this now. As a matter of fact, it was something we were talking about earlier, which is, you know, kind of, and I don't know how else to say it and be politically correct, so I'm going to just say this shit. Like, a lot of white girls are sluts in college and
they are.
In high
they
school.
They straight freaks.
And so you run into black dudes who get caught up in the sluttiness of white girls, and they make the mistake of fucking around with them, not realizing that. And I've heard white girls make the joke about black boys. Well, I'll call the cops on you. I'll tell them that you raped me. I'll tell
that ain't
them, like,
no
I've
damn
heard,
joke to me.
I've heard white girls make that joke to black dudes at parties.
Look.
Not they weren't drunk when they said it. They had a drink in their hand, but they hadn't drunk it yet.
I tell them straight up, I don't know how to talk to white girls, and I ain't trying to learn. And it ain't. It's not like I got a problem with white people, but I'm a historian. I'm a student of history. And I'll be a damn fool if I'm going to continue to read a narrative that's hundreds of years old and a true narrative, and I go against that. I'm a fool.
But you're dealing with a lot of ignorance, Joe. How many black boys know the narrative? Like, they say they know it. They might have a feeling about it, because I think inherently, I believe in genetic memory, and now that it's been proven, I feel like I'm justified in believing in it. But so I think a lot of black dudes have an inkling that, you know, when I'm messing around with this white girl, I'm running the risk, because if she screams rape, I'm done. But they don't, because they don't really know the facts, because they don't really know the narrative, they kind of brush it off. You know, like the desire for pussy kind of pushes all that aside, and that's again what we get back to. Parents need to start teaching they children about impulse control. You need to listen to that little voice in the back of the head over that little voice coming from the head of your dick. Like mm-hmm. the one in the back of your head is more important.
Now, you know, I'm glad you said that. All right, because let's bust this myth right now. This bullshit for you to say that I can't control myself because you have an erection, that's bullshit.
Oh yeah. Most definitely.
Please. You can make a sound decision with an erection. Because when you got your erection, you continue to make decisions. So
right,
don't tell me you can't control yourself. Now, if you're talking about some young person trying to learn how to trying to learn how to deal with the hormones and stuff that's developing their body, that who hasn't been given information, that's different. But we're talking about grown folk. You know how to make them decisions.
Right. Because I tell people, look, I've been drunk once, stone drunk, where I blacked out. But I remember everything up until me blacking out. And I was able to make competent decisions. Now,
Does it
lower your inhibitions? Yes. Does it make you not really care as much? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're still making decisions. You're still able to think things through. The fact that you no longer care about the consequences is on you. That's not on the liquor.
Right.
And it's the same thing with you got these dudes running around here talking about, well, when a man get an erection, all the blood leave his brain and go to his dick. That's bullshit.
That's bull.
That's straight up. Everybody dick ain't that big, so that's a lie right there. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody dick is not big enough to drain all the blood from their body. Second off, if all the blood drained from your brain, you're
gonna fall out.
You have a stroke. You know what I'm saying? Like
you fall in that.
Right, like let's be real now. Yeah, like.
But see, but once again though, that's why we have to continue to bust myths, man. We got to continue to talk truth, and we got to continue to put it on the table and be candid about this, man. Because, I mean, I've been intoxicated severely a couple times, but most of those times I was home. So let that be known, because my first rule, and because my mom taught me this, you do not get drunk in public. And before, I was fortunate enough that before I started drinking, because I really, alcohol ain't never really been my thing. So especially like when I was an athlete, I wasn't drinking and I wasn't doing nothing. So going to the, like, we used to go to the club and be the only sober ones in the club and have the most fun. So that's why, first of all, if you tell me that you need to be drunk to have fun, you lame.
Right.
Because we used to, me and my homeboys used to set the, like, we had the whole club doing our dances that we just made up, stupid dances on the spot. But everybody in the club don't care because they're having fun, but they don't know we ain't drunk. We in the club with water and orange juice.
Hey, bro, I used to be in the club with apple juice, so.
I mean, so don't tell me that you need that to have fun. And then you can, like, when you drunk, that just makes you do what you've always really wanted to do even more. But that don't mean you cannot make a sound decision. And when people are saying, well, I was drunk, all right, but you still made that decision, though. Right. You just went with that. And, because when we even, and another thing, you don't always need no drink or no weed or whatever, or no molly, whatever people use to get turned on. You don't need that for sex. Like, you don't have to have that to have good sex. How about actually liking the person that you have sex with? Man, how about actually having a connection with that person?
If you need to use a drug to have good sex, it's one of two things. One,
you're not good.
Either your stroke game lame as fuck, in which case you having sex ain't make you taking a drug ain't making it better. It's just making you think it's better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or two, you got some kind of biological issue. Maybe you impotent. Maybe you got some issue that you need to go see a doctor about.
And another one that get me is dudes who say, I can't have sex with a condom because I can't keep an erection. That's bull. That's bull that you can't. How about this? Go back. How about you actually liking and having a connection with the person you're trying to have sex with? Because every time, just being real, every time in the past that I would find myself in a sexual situation with somebody that I ain't really like that, you really not getting the business. You really not. Gonna get the business, because I don't really like you like that. And the more time I spend in this situation, the less interested I am. And is that rough and harsh? Yep, but it's the truth. And from some of my scenarios and some of my situations, I could have hurt myself. I could have put myself in bad positions. And it's just not me, it's other men. There's a whole bunch of me and my homeboys and other men out there who are going to be listening to this, who we're blessed to not have no diseases or been messed up, because we put ourselves in positions in some bad positions just to have sex, and that's it's not right.
No, it's not. I can't say I'm fortunate in a lot of regards. I have had limited sexual encounters with a limited amount of people, partly because, you know, my mom raised us. She raised us to look at sex as a sacred thing. Now, some of it took, some of it didn't, but I can say that I've never been one to put myself in a dangerous situation for sex. The one time I did, I ended up with my first son.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, I was kind of blessed. I had been with the young lady for a number of years or whatever, but so I can't say that I'm blessed in that regard, but
right.
That speaks to how I was taught to view sex, which
right.
I think needs to be addressed in the community in so many ways, like especially with rape and sexual violence running rampant, and let's just call it what it is, running rampant in our community.
We
need to seriously address not the way we deal with rape and sexual violence. We need to address the way we look at sex, because like you said earlier in the start of the show, if we change the way we look at sex, a lot of these other problems we're having, which are symptoms of the way we view sex, will go away.
Mm-hmm. If people would go back and listen to our interview with Dr. A.L. Smith when she's talking about, we interview her about her book, Behind Closed Doors to Dana's Story. And shout out to Dr. A.L. Smith, because she told us that she was turning that book into a movie. And if you haven't been following, she is shooting her movie now. So shout out to Dr. A.L. Smith. Y'all go check her. Google Dr. Angela Smith. And go to Amazon and look for Behind Closed Doors 2, Dana's Story, or Google Behind Closed Doors, because she has two books, Behind Closed Doors and Behind Closed Doors 2. But specifically, I'm focusing on Behind Closed Doors 2, because one of the things we covered in that was that intrafamilial sexual rape. And for those who I may have thrown you off, sex from the family, I mean rape from the family members inside the home. And that is often covered up. Like, with me working in with sexual violence prevention and HIV/AIDS prevention, man, it's just the mindsets of people that surround sex is like, because I grew up thinking that I'm supposed to have sex with all the girls that look good. That was my thing. And when I was in college, I ain't gonna lie, I was trying to be the king of the hill. I was trying. Now, I ain't saying I had success doing that, but that was my mission. Because I ain't gonna lie, I set sexual goals when I went to college. That's what my mind was. And I didn't learn that from my mom. I didn't learn that from my dad. But I know a lot of the cousins that I was around and the neighborhoods. It's just the neighborhoods that we grew up in. Living in the hood, man, you were introduced to sex early. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm now thinking back, I'm proud of my homeboys who had sexual responsibility as teenagers. I got a couple friends who did not have unprotected sex until they got married. A couple friends who, when we was in high school, when it came to oral sex, they were using condoms and looking at us like we was crazy. I wasn't getting that in high school. I was lying, but. from the ones who was, you know, having a conversation, dude, like, yeah, man, you better use a condom when you get hit, and everybody looking at him like a condom. But now, dude was 15, 20 years ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be applauded. I applaud that in my homeboys. But it's just the way that sexuality, matter of fact, I don't even think Americans really understand sexuality. It's like look at the way we view nudists. Think about it. Think about it, because somebody chooses to, on their path, they found that that works for them, being free, being nudist and things. People look at their, well, they're uncouth. They looking for attention. Man, everybody who like to be naked ain't looking for attention. Like, being naked is natural. No matter what you believe from your religion, being naked is natural. Just as natural as you sneezing and farting. Being naked, and if you can disagree and say, well, that's disrespectful to show my temple and all this, yeah, but look around the world. Look around the world and look at some of these cultures where women are either half naked, or practically naked, or may only have their genitals covered, but their rates of rape are low. They don't have the amount of village whores that we do. So think about that.
But that goes back again to the way we view the human body and the way we view sex. Like, I don't have any problem with sexualizing the human body. You know, like, I don't have no bones about telling people I'm married to what I believe to be the most beautiful woman in the world. Mm-hmm. And she could walk around the house in sweatpants, and I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my respect for her being her own human being, I'm not just going to throw myself on her anytime I want it.
That's
because
a great
of the
point.
Fact that I can control my impulses, I have the willpower to not jump on her whenever I have the urge to. You know what I'm saying? So, that stems from the way I view sex.
But now, and I'm glad you said that, because remember, it was a time where if a husband raped his wife, that was like, hey man, that's their business, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like they actually made women think that they were sexual commodities, that you have to be available whenever your man want to have sex. That's not true. That's not
mm-hmm.
true. And if the sex that you are having is not helping to empower your life, you don't need to be having sex for that person. I always ask people, why you raw dog people you don't want to have kids or get married to? Why you do that?
Right.
And the answer always, man, I don't know, oh man, shit, that shit feel good. I like going raw shit, my nigga. Like, what? So you are cool with throwing off your plans for feelings. Boy, you don't get no lotion to go in the bathroom and handle that, boy, if you want feeling.
That's always been my deal, bro. It's too easy for, and I know that's kind of off topic, but at the same time, it's too easy for you to take care of yourself. You know, for you to be out running around out there talking about raw dogging strange chicks that you just met.
For you'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised the number of people that do that, man.
Because I'd be just as surprised as the women who don't force dudes to wear condoms because they don't want to.
And you know what else I found out? A lot of girls don't force dudes to wear condoms because they don't want to use them, or they be embarrassed to have that conversation and things. Or some of those girls just don't know how to put on condoms themselves. That's why I'm on a personal mission to teach every woman I know that tell me that they don't know how to put condoms on. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me you don't know how to put condoms. Don't let me see that you don't know how to roll the condom down correctly, because you finna get a lesson. Because ain't no way, man. Like, there is no way that you're supposed to let your daughter get out of the house and don't know how to use condoms. There's no way.
You'd be surprised not just girls, how many people in general.
I don't even want to get on the boys, because we already know boys don't know how to use condoms. That's why their condoms breaking.
Right.
And let me give y'all men this tip, and women this tip too. If you leave room at the tip of your condom, it won't break. And because all of that pressure that's at the tip of that condom is why the condom is breaking. And then when you ejaculate, and all that pressure from your ejaculation, and then when you're trying to pull out the girl and the pressure from the vagina, the condom is breaking.
Well,
and stop wearing condoms that's too big for you, too.
Right.
Everybody,
well, that's the deal, though. You got these dudes running around with these extra large condoms on, and then you got dudes running around who thinking, well, I'm gonna put two of them on just in case the first one breaks.
Man, that's so idiotic.
You know, but again, since we not having discussions about sex, we not talking about condoms. I talked to a grown woman earlier this week that didn't know that they made female condoms.
That's sad. But see, that's letting you know that we're not talking about sex the way we're supposed to. We're not talking like anybody you want to teach, you want to learn something new, invite me to come to your classroom, invite me to come to your office building, your house, whatever. I do family reunions, I do bar mitzvahs, I do circumcisions. We're Live Skill Live Fulfilled. I'm on a personal mission to make sure that people can have access to the information that they need, man. It's so irresponsible and I know I don't have no kids, and I ain't trying to be mean or talk about stuff that I don't know, but I think it's irresponsible to send your child out into the world as an adult and have not fully prepared them to deal with sex, which is an adult act.
Well, I got 3 kids, and I got potentially 3 more on the way. So I'm going to say it's irresponsible for you to not prepare your kids for sexual encounters with other adults. It's irresponsible for you not to prepare your kids for their own sexual desires that they're going to have when they go through puberty. If your child is 12 years old and you ain't talked to them about sex, you're fucking up.
Bad. Say that. Please say that again.
You fucking up. I mean, straight up. Yeah, I said slow. If your child is 12 years old and you have not talked to them about sex, I'm talking to you. You are fucking up.
Man, you got to talk to your 9-year-olds these days.
Because I guarantee you, and I remember growing up before we even really had the internet like that. We was using National Geographic magazine.
Either that, National Geographic, Playboy, for those who were lucky enough to have some nasty daddies, uncles, or cousins.
Oh, yeah, because we all had the daddy who had the penthouse collection.
Right. Victoria's Secret magazines. Now, the only reason I didn't like them, because they had too many white girls in them.
Well, I didn't care at that point.
I ain't going to lie, I did.
Well, when I wanted to see color, I would look at National Geographic because they always only went, you know, they always showed the black women with.
Man, look at that. But now, also now, the best one was when you grew up in a house where somebody had porno. But remember, it's VHS. So hopefully you had the VCR in your room, but chances are you didn't because it was in your parents' room or in the living room. So this though, back in the days, we had to sneak and watch porn on silent. And if you got caught, you got a whooping, and they tried to whoop the nasty out of you instead of actually sitting down and talking to you about sex.
Man, I remember my first porno was a crazy gym porno called Pumping Irene. Anyways, but the fact is, kids are learning about, if your child is 12 years old or 13 years old, chances are they're already having discussions about sex with their peers.
Hey, man, my grandma was born in the 30s. In the 20s, probably earlier than that. Yeah, 1920s. But my grandma had her first child when she was 11 years old. I probably said this before. I have an uncle who has been confirmed to have four children between the ages of 15 and 16.
But people want to believe people want to believe that it's not their child until it is their child. Look, when I coached track at a middle school in the north, and I ain't going to put it on blast because it was only one middle school in the whole town, but they had a school slut at a middle school now.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in the 6th to 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are not talking to your kid about sex and they are in the double digit numbers, not only are you screwing your child, but you're potentially screwing somebody else's child as well.
Man, look here. It's a school in this area around here that I go to and I do classes. And every year, like on the school bus, like the kids participate in helping other kids have sex. So, like you have 2 in the back of the bus, and all the other kids will form a wall around them so they can give head and have sex on the bus. So, which means all of them know what's going on.
Yeah,
Yeah. And people walk around, not my baby, my baby. Man, your baby the ringleader.
And we all know those kids. They got frontal lobe impairments. And I say that to say they got decision-making problems. They not very good at making decisions. And to a certain age, that's acceptable. But once your child hit 15, 16, 17 years old, that's really no longer an excuse, because their frontal lobes are, for the most part, developed enough for them to make rational decisions. Now, if your child is still... But here's the deal. If your child has willpower issues, and you know that up front, because children with willpower issues, they sneak and do shit that they know they ain't supposed to do. Stealing food out the refrigerator and doing all kinds of other crazy shit. Those are the people, those are the children that you know right up front. You should go ahead and put an asterisk next to their name and really go in on them about controlling their willpower, because that little shit that they do when they kids can turn into big shit that happens when they get to be an adult.
When they get to adult, they feel so entitled. Really?
Cause you ain't never checked their ass for doing little shit.
So right,
they
right.
Feel like if they want something, they can just take it.
And then that's when you don't fix that in your damn child. And if that child is a boy, most likely that boy go to college feeling privileged, and then he come across these girls who are impaired, and he raped them. And then everybody covers it up for him. The men in the justice system and some of the women in the justice system cover it up for him, especially if he white, or especially if he has some kind of value.
And this is what you need to know right here. First off, I just forgot what I was going to say, but trust me, you needed to know it.
Hey, first off, shoot. But man, I mean, but it's so frustrating, though, because it's like we cannot continue moving forward existing the way we exist and think that everything's supposed to work itself out. That's bull, man. You have to create healthy culture. You have to create a healthy culture by changing the dialogue. Like, if we don't change the way we have sex, look at sex, think about sex, around sex, and all these things here. Because we still, think about it, like, and let's just be real, we still got the same ideas in America about sex that the white folk had when they first landed.
Mm-hmm.
We still got the same ideas about sex, we just don't want to be out in the open talking about that, but we still feel the same way. We still feel the same. I mean, that's how you can have young men and women, especially young dudes, in a family that's getting raped and everybody knows, and then everybody work to get it covered up, or like Terrell Owens, you handle like Terrell Owens growing up across the street from your daddy that you didn't know who was your daddy because your mama was a freak and your daddy was a freak and they trying to cover up their hoishness.
And the crazy part about that, the fact that our culture hasn't evolved, is that is that the negative parts of the culture in terms of how white people view black people persist. And now, in a lot of respects, they have infected black culture. They have infected, you know, the way we look at each other. You know, like, we all like to think about the positive aspect, the quote-unquote positive aspects of what it means to be black sexually. Oh, you a beast in the bed, you got a big dick, you got a big dad, blah, blah, blah. But in accepting those positive things, that also means that you accept all of the negative things that society has to say about your culture. The black man is a sexual deviant. The right. Black woman is only good for sex, which is why her body is objectified the way it is, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're not just accepting the good parts of those narratives. Those are just the parts that you want to speak to. But there's still the negative aspects of that culture that's still very prevalent in your psyche, and it manifests itself every time it has an opportunity to. And the way we interact with each other, the way we talk about sex, the way we... I mean, we talked about hip-hop not too long ago.
Look how we think about sex and hip-hop.
Right. That's a prime example of the way that the culture has not shifted in the positive way in terms of black people and how we're viewed sexually. But again, all of that stems from the fact that we refuse to talk about sex.
Then, you know, dudes be like, man, I just love women, man. That's what I do. I just love women, man. That's bullshit. You don't respect women. Let's be real. You don't respect women like that. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and we grew up, like, even our, like, some of our favorite songs, our favorite rappers, our favorite albums, all these things here, man, it's just riddled with a lot of the ills of our society that we accept because the form is given to us is more digestible.
You can't tell me you love women and you running around sleeping with a different one every day.
Right.
That shit,
what do you love about women?
Right, that shit don't make sense to me.
Man, they got some good pussy. Oh, yeah? So that's what you love about women, huh? That's it, huh? That's all you got? All right. You wasting our time again.
Yeah, 'cause, I mean, if you really love something, you don't want to hurt it. You don't want to see it distraught or nothing like that. What do you think is happening when you taking advantage of these women just so you get some pussy? Now, if you meet a chick who okay with one-night bang-bangs or whatever the case, that's fine. Whatever. Do your thing. You know? I'm not getting in the way of that. I think two consenting adults can do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. It ain't for me. But
you better be ready to come with the consequences, though.
Hey, because you know what? It is what it is. If she get pregnant or you got an STD or whatever the case might be, remember, you love sex.
Right. And like I tell people all the time, man, I love sex too. I like having sex. If I could do it every day, I'm doing it every day if I could. But sensibly, sex is too important and it's too sacred and it's too vital to our survival to just be willy-nilly with it. And we can't just continue to encourage that stuff, just be willy-nilly, because it's like if you the dude who all the girls like, and in a lot of instances, it'd be encouraged in the home. It could be encouraged in the neighborhood and communities. Hey, man, it's the ladies, man. The ladies. All right, that's cool. It's cool the ladies like him. But you need to teach him sexual responsibility. And you also need to teach him that just because the girls like you in public don't mean that the ugly dude ain't mess with them girls in private. Mm-hmm. So you're not special.
Well, you know that we have to have a talk, and this is not just about sex at this point, but we have to have a talk about just the way we deal with children in general. Because, like I said, we tell them it's okay to be a fuck up until they 25, and then when they turn 26, we expect them to have their shit together, and then we get mad at them when they don't. You 26 years old, man. What the fuck is wrong with you? Well, what you? At my last birthday, you just told me I could get drunk and fuck this random bitch. Like, and now you telling me I need to get my shit together? Like, I used to have
young girls tell me how their parents would buy hotel rooms for them, buy weed and buy liquor so they could have parties. And then their excuse is, I would rather do this for you than have you go out in the streets and doing it. Fool, they shouldn't be doing it at all.
Right. Well, that's
you don't do that for no 16-year-old.
Right. How do you enable that type of behavior by saying, well, they gonna do it anyway, so I'd rather do it with me. No, they not gonna do it anyway. The fact that you feel like they gonna do it anyway is probably what's gonna push them to doing it. Like,
you're encouraging them to do it.
I don't expect my kids to go out there and snort crack. So I'm in the bottom of crack pipe and say, well, I want you to smoke crack with me so that you don't smoke crack out there. And like, you realize how dumb that sounds?
Right. Like, that's ignorant and irresponsible. Hey, man, everybody who's an adult shouldn't be having babies. Everybody who's sexually able shouldn't be having babies.
But that frustrates me because I hear people saying that about weed all the time, and it really makes no sense to me because it's like, look, see, so let's say it another way. I'm going to buy my child a heroin. I'm going to buy my child a syringe and some heroin. And we going to shoot up at the house together. Because if they going to get high on heroin, I want them to get high with me. Like, you realize how stupid that sounds? You'd be like, no, my child ain't doing no fucking heroin.
Man, I always tell Jits, man, leave that stuff alone now. And I'm telling them from experience. Luckily, I was an athlete when I was in high school, and I first, you know, was smoking and stuff like that. I was an athlete, but when I was in college, I was going in, you know, in college and even after college. But I was an adult at that stage. I was an adult, but it's not something that I ever desired. Like if I had kids, I would ever desire to do with my kids. Like that's ignorant.
I can't for the life of me fathom why, and I know people that do it, and I still can't understand it.
Why
you would say I'm gonna do drugs with my kids? Like that's
I'm 32. My dad in his 60s. I side eye my dad if he tried to hand me a blunt. And my dad already told us. I don't care how old you get. We ain't gonna never be on the same level for us to do that.
Right, and then at the same time, you want to remain a parental figure.
Right.
Like, you just reduced yourself to the level of friend.
Right. Just trying to be cool for your child. They're trying to be cool for you.
Right. I don't care how non-damaging I think weed is. I'm never going to be friendly enough with my kids.
Right.
To smoke with them. Ever. Ever.
Right.
You are never going to be that cool. I don't smoke weed. But I might just pick it up just to prove a point. That they never gonna be friendly enough with me to sit in my living room.
Right.
Like, you're not even gonna be friendly enough with me to sit in my living room and be high.
Right. Right.
Like, that's just not
right.
gonna happen.
Because I would be the father that hadn't got high. See my son come in as a young dude, high, and go slap off on him, high. Because I'm grown, and me saying that don't mean that I'm supposed to take drugs. But what I am saying is, I am in a better state to deal with consequences than you are. Now, I do think that parents need to stop telling their kids that I'm grown thing and not backing that up with information. Because we understand that weed isn't damaging like alcohol or other things. We understand that. But it's never going to be okay for you to just, you shouldn't be encouraging teens and stuff to go out there and just be getting into drugs and just getting high just because it's weed like that. Nah, I mean, everybody can't handle weed. And for some people, that's going to lead to bad stuff.
Well, that's what we gotta. But see, that's where it comes with doing research. Like, we don't do enough. Like, I don't even smoke weed, but I've read probably 4 or 5 books on weed, how it affects the body, and I've watched probably 10-15 documentaries. And I don't even smoke weed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just in case my kids or somebody's kids or a kid that I'm mentoring, because kids I used to mentor used to be involved in weed all the time. I wanted
all
to be
time.
Able to give them accurate information about what weed does and whether or not it's harmful. Nah, this ain't about your homeboy who been smoking weed for the last 3 years and he's still okay. No, let's talk about what it really does to the body and whether or not it really is harmful. But
right.
people aren't doing that kind of research. They just like, well, my friend, you know, like, let's talk about Lynn Byers. All his friends was doing crack. None of them died.
But he did.
But he did, you know.
Because one of the most dangerous things, I know we totally off topic, but so what? But one of the most dangerous things, though, is because I just seen one of my homeboys today, and I call him my homeboy because, you know, I got dude cool. He a good guy despite the things that happened to him, but he smoked a bad joint that was laced with some stuff, and he ain't been the same since. I done seen that happen to plenty of cats. Like, people are really dumb enough, they'll go up in the party or go up in some kind of realm or whatever, wherever they at, and somebody just hand them a blunt and they just start puffing. You don't know what's in that. That's stupid.
But I think it is on topic, kind of, because we still talking about impulse control and being responsible.
True.
So, and then, you know,
well, drugs go into rape culture as well, too.
Drugs have a lot to do with rape culture, so... You know, it's still on topic. We just ain't talking about sex no more, but it all ties together. With that being said, though, Joe, I realize we running a little long, so.
Yeah. But We just want to make sure that we put some of these topics on the table, and hopefully we've opened up some discussion points to where people can go back and have discussions. I encourage all parents, if you're a parent, please talk to your kids about sex. Please talk to your kids about the culture of rape. Please talk to if you're going to teach your daughter to respect herself sexually, teach your son to respect himself sexually. If you're going to tell your son to not bring home babies, or you're going to tell your daughter, the narrative should be the same on both sides. Now, how you tell it may not have to be the same, but the narrative has to be the same, because you cannot keep placing so much. You expecting too much out of one sex and not expecting enough out of the other. Like, you're treating your daughters like they're adults, and treating your sons like they're kids. That has to stop. And we have to start looking at sexual and domestic violence from both ends, from women doing it to men and men doing it to women, also men doing it to men, women doing it to women, because it's time for a change. And sex is okay. It's okay to have sex and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Most certainly is.
So, you know.
Stop being a punk, man. That's basically what we saying. Stop being a bunch of pussies, man.
Talk about it. Put combos on the table, and let's do something different.
If you ain't talking to your kids about sex, you screwing more than just your kids. You screwing somebody else's kid potentially as well.
Because you better hope. Go ahead, my bad.
No, I was just gonna say all of the girls is getting raped. They're getting raped by somebody's son.
Right.
And all of the boys is being abused and molested. They're being abused and molested by somebody's daughter.
Right. And if you choose not to talk to your kids about sex, they're going to talk to Tyrone, who granddaddy taught him that you can find out if a girl got HIV or STDs by digging in his ear, getting some earwax and sticking it into her vagina. And if the earwax melt, then she got some. But if it don't melt, she all right. But the problem is, what if the earwax don't melt? And she still got something. Yeah, and guess what? That shit don't work. So you better talk to your kids before they talk to Tyrone, who talked to his granddaddy.
Most definitely.
Yes, sir.
If for no other reason than sticking earwax in a vagina is nasty.
Right. The more you know. Hey, I'm Joseph Ward. This is Patrick Irvin, and thank you for tuning in to the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. Remember, our mission is to connect professionals, business owners, and resources to our community members to help uplift and empower our communities. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.paxinc.org. That's PACTSINC.org. And make sure you visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about us and hear the playbacks of our shows. And you can subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast on iTunes and Google Play Music. So make sure you do that. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. And like our Freedom Train Facebook page. And then go to www.ontheshoulders1.com and buy my book on the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1, North America. But until then, because you need to read. You really do need to read. And you need to read Pat stuff, too. So they need to read Pat. So with that being said, two fingers up like a player, split them apart, and let the world tell you, ah!